Wondrous. Wondrous and triple wondrous. Good afternoon, Mary Dancy. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And good afternoon, Claire Margerison. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Yes.
Just all right? Just okay?
I've been travelling for 4 hours. I got back to Lincoln exactly an hour ago, so I'm a little bit worn out.
This is why, Katie, when I was waving to Claire from Studio 1B, she ignored me completely. Just have a look in one eye. No, sorry, that's it.
I've got my reading glasses on. I can't see far.
At all. How are you, Katie?
I'm very well, thank
you. How's the work placement going?
It's great, thank you.
Hurrah!
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Cameron Tilbury, welcome to British Summertime. How are you keeping?
Yes. Yeah, I got screwed up. I thought it was noon today. But no.
I was going to actually send a general reminder, but the last time I did that, of course, it confused our Peterborough correspondent, Tessa Start, no end, so I thought best not send out a general reminder to that effect. Let's hope that Gwyneth Griffiths in Newcastle, Tara Bennett in Los Angeles, Ilana Raid also in LA, Larry Nemechek in LA, and Phil Leonis in LA also realise that actually, yes, we've now kind of realigned ourselves in that solar time paradox we sometimes refer to as going around the sun.
See, I have to be checking the international clock on my phone because I also do a weekly phone-in thing on a radio station, one of our affiliate radio stations in Tamworth, Australia, and they don't switch until this weekend. So we've got all these different time zones and
It's enough to make you go beside yourself with excitement and people think doing a dissertation or writing a resume is difficult. No, it's just all slotted onto that.
Keeping track of time. If everybody just did the same thing, it would be fine. But no, everybody's got to be different.
And once again, the words of Cameron Tilbury have a resonance that echo even today. So
exactly.
Stand with that.
Your little grumpy old man features.
Oh, I was saying that as I commented when listening to your voicemail service, which one of these days I'm sure we'll play on her. I did think he's gone very, very Texas drawl in his answer phone. He used to be such a received pronunciation English person. I just don't know. He's changed it tremendously. However, exactly. Do you know what I spent Easter Sunday doing?
Looking for eggs.
No, actually, not at all. No, I decided to actually watch not one but two John Wayne movies. Thinking about you yourself, Cameron. Obviously, I thought.
Which one?
Well, they were The Sons of Katie Elder.
Oh, great movie. Yeah. Dean Martin.
Excellent. Exactly. And the man who shot Liberty Valance.
Ooh, widely noted as one of the best John Wayne movies ever. Jimmy Stewart.
Exactly.
What a great film.
Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne, Vera Miles, and 1962, same year as To Kill a Mockingbird, all sorts of other scenarios. That's just wonderful.
My favorite is True Grit. It's always going to be True Grit.
Save that for this weekend, Cameron. Save that for this weekend.
Excellent.
We'd hold fire on that particular aspect. Anyways, I just say that's not your tune, is it? I felt like saying anyways. Let's move into your choice, or should I say RDT's choice? Yes, Katie.
Yeah.
Katie. Ooh. RDT.
Almost.
Yeah, not Russell. Russell T. Davis, but RDT. One for the Who
fans. We're talking about John Wayne, and he's played a few outlaws, and some people are aware of the outlaw movement in country music. It was made really famous back in the early '70s. Waylon Jennings, Johnny Paycheck. Oh, man, just Billy Joe Shaver and just more people that I can mention. And it's enjoying quite a bit of a resurgence now. There are a lot of guys, especially in Texas, that are bringing that raw kind of outlaw sound of country music back because it's been missing for a few years. This guy is one of them. He's one of a huge crowd, and I think he's a real standout. He got his start playing in metal bands around Texas. But realized his love for country music and that outlaw sound. So that's what he does now. And I think you're really going to like this. This is Ronnie Dean Tinsley, and the song is called Southern Ways. It's on Siren FM.
I'll spend my last dollar bill on a case of booze. Drink all night. That's what a Hayward living. If you gain you
that sometimes you've got to realise that change the natural order of existence. That would be, of course, from the new album Renegade, would it not, Cameron Tilbury?
Yes, it would. Also, brand new album, and it's available on iTunes and every place else.
Although we have to say that actually spending your last dollar on booze is not advisable in any shape or form. It's not. You'll end up...
It depends.
No, it doesn't, actually. Sorry. Just send it over. Yeah, I mean, I even... It was the left cheek horse. But when you go... You realise it's not going to... It's just not going to happen. Katie, what did you make of Southern Ways?
I really liked it. I love the beat to it and the energy to it.
Thumbs up from Katie Dore. Mary Dancy.
Yeah, two thumbs up. I really liked it as well.
Because we've got to listen to it again tomorrow morning. We don't have to, but we always do.
We always do.
Exactly.
It is really nice. I like it.
If only to get the views of a chap from Newcastle. That would be Ian Lennox. Claire Margerison.
If I had three thumbs, it would be three thumbs up.
And you'd be an ex-person.
I know, right?
You'd be an additional mutant. Genius. So there we are. Next week, of course, Cameron, you have waved your magic and ensured that the fine soul that we actually heard a couple of weeks ago, I think, was it Tess? No, was it?
Last week.
Yeah, last week.
Carrington McDuffie. Yeah.
Carrington McDuffie is joining us on the show
that
next week.
That is a wonderful name.
Very nice.
We shall have to be back for that. You'll have to check your choirs. Does the choir start again next week?
It does.
Yeah, is that 6 o'clock?
It is.
So you're out for the first hour, so the others.
Yeah,
there we go.
now, also next week, we're going to play... I was at a record release party downtown last night for a guy named Sean Byrne. He's got a new record out called Slow Bullet. And... what a great artist, and we're going to feature him next week as well on this slot. So lots of magic.
It's just
going
like
on.
Teasing ahead. It's like better than the trailer for Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I saw the movie. It's all right. Relax. It's okay. It's an 8 out of 10 from me. It's all right.
I haven't seen any of those superheroes.
Yeah, well, that's because you are a superhero, Cameron. You don't have time. You are a cowboy man. You know.
Yeah, I hate stepping on my own cape.
Wonder Woman doesn't actually have a cape. Not
no
at
capes.
Least in, no, no.
No capes. Ooh. No capes.
There we are. Moving on. Claire, can you remember those last two questions?
I can, yes. Cameron, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have, and now I know what time it is.
Great, grand.
Because the whole world goes by British time, and as an example of that, I use the TV series JAG, which when it actually says something along the lines of 1712 Zulu, means it's Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very
so
nice.
That's it.
Fun fact there. And will you be joining us again next week?
I'll be back.
Fab.
Would have been most unusual if he'd said no, because obviously having trailed ahead, he would have contradicted himself. He would have been replaced by something else completely different. Cue Belinda Carlisle.
Can't sleep tonight. I feel so shaken. Baby, the wind has changed again. You came to me straight out of nowhere, taking me where I've never been. Suddenly all of my friends away, horses, baby, hold on tight. Whoa, racing through the darkness. Whoa, trying to find a light. You and I.
Have to do that in any case, particularly if you're in the Katie Dore household listening to Runaway Horses again and again and again.
Oh yes, I really am sorry to my parents.
You're just educated from Katie. It's Belinda Carlisle, one of the Go-Go's. Fantastic. And Runaway Horses, in every sense of the word, part and parcel of what doesn't appear in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. I've already nailed my colours to the mast by saying, it's all right. We're looking now at the image of, yes, Jen Tate, a.k.a. Gwyneth Griffiths. She even sounds like a superheroine in full Supergirl costume. It doesn't actually appear in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, but she's certainly actually showing up Batman. has to be said. Batman is under the boot, quite clearly.
Well and truly.
Can I just say, that is actually not me. I am Catwoman in that picture.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, it's always so confusing. Well, we'll just have to sort of obviously go pass through the pictures and find out which one. So actually, that's yourself.
I am the catsuit, yes.
You are Catwoman in that suit. Confusing.
It's all very clear now.
It's been such a long time since I've seen her face to face, you see. Over a year. I'd easily mistaken as she was Black Canary when I saw her first met her. What were you doing and did you catch the movie and what did you make of it? Go on, you've got three questions there. You can take them in any order you wish.
Well, yeah, I do a lot of the cinema promotion. So mm-hmm. we did Batman Superman at the midnight launch.
Yes.
I did get to see it at the midnight as well.
Yes.
I quite enjoyed it. I mean, a lot of people are kind of giving it so much,
stick.
Horrible reviews.
Lots of stick. Phil Leonis, our Los Angeles correspondent, he kind of trashed it before, just on the basis of the trailer alone, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like, no, don't go. Even Warner Brothers had actually sort of said, oh, I don't know where we're going with this one. It's, is it going to be Affleck all over the place? No. It's worth seeing. That's what I would say.
Yes, it definitely is. And he's a really, really good Batman. So,
yep.
Fair play to him.
I think, I think Henry Cavill has kind of settled more into the role of Superman. And Gal Gadot makes a superb Wonder Woman. I thought, the Diana Prince scenario works extremely well. So positive stuff on that sort of basis.
Definitely.
That's great. Shameless plug for the gaming establishment that you're currently working in. Let's hope she doesn't get any customers while she's online because they could flood in, etc.
Yes, so I'm at Granger Games working today. I'm actually at work now, but I've managed to sneak in the office.
You see, Granger Games. It's a wonderful part of Newcastle, which one day we will do a location report at.
Definitely.
Katie, you're a keen... Well, would you say you're a keen cosplay? You've done costumes.
I'm an occasional cosplay, really enjoy it.
All right. So, I mean, I've given you a lovely flyer for something we'll be featuring both on this evening's show and indeed next week. And then, of course, the big event, SFS, Sci-Fi Scarborough.
Yes.
Guests include Richard Hatch, Garrett Wang, Claudia Christian, Larry Demichek, and others. Larry, of course, is on the show. Cosplay competitions, Geek Boutique, and, curiously, something I believe is based in Tyneside, which you may well know of, Gwyneth, Quark's Tyne Bar.
I am a member of Quark's Tyne Bar.
Wow, you kept that to yourself.
I'm in pretty much every group in the Northeast, I've realised. I've been invited, but I don't know if I can get down yet. I'm trying my best to get on board.
Lord,
I really want to go.
Yes. The challenges, I'll make sure you're on the list with respect to you can be an honorary midweek drivette. Katie's going to try and get over there. Mary sadly decided now I'm staying in London. It's her way. And Claire, she might be being inducted by some sort of tea and coffee house in Harrogate. I don't know.
I'm going to try and come though. It's Yorkshire and it's sci-fi.
Again, very, very delighted to find out by chatting to not only Steve, who we spoke to on the show, but also Andy. This is the first in a series of steps to actually make Sci-Fi Scarborough the San Diego of Europe.
Fantastic.
Now, that's the kind of British ambition that I think, yes, let's go for it. Let's continue to work.
Why not? Aim for the stars.
Yeah, exactly. And
I love Scarborough. It's one of my favourite places, so I really want to go.
And I was very impressed with the actual South Bay and indeed the whole environment. I mean, just doing a recce yesterday, I thought it was very good indeed. So lots of fun. We'll be happy. All you can still actually go to scifiscarborough.co.uk and find out more details about that. Anyway, any questions you'd like to put to Gwyneth about cosplay in general, possibly advice, because she is by far the pièce de résistance when it comes to that. I mean, I kind of hijacked it by going to Quark's Tyne Bar there, which obviously we'll have to do a location report. But anyway, carry on.
Who's your favourite character to cosplay?
Ooh, as I said before, it keeps changing. At the moment, I'm going to go Black Widow because it's very very current. But Civil War's out soon, so I've got a lot of promotion stuff coming up for that.
Literally just a few weeks away from Captain America, Civil War. I've already seen the levels of excitement by the trailer when the Spider-Man appears.
Oh, yeah. I've seen so many spoofs as well, it's been taken by the internet.
But so yes, it's good things will manifest, much like Batman vs Superman Dawn of Justice, which is worthwhile going. So favourite would be obviously Black Widow. Yeah, I can see the Natasha Romanoff being an important part of that whole sequence in every sense of the word. Mary, thoughts from yourself? Yeah, you cosplay. I mean, you're secretary of the Science Fiction Association at the University of Lincoln.
No, but I
thought it was a prerequisite. Surely.
No, not quite. But I am going to go to MCM London, actually, this summer, which will be really exciting. So, Katie, am I going to see you there? Are you going?
I'm not going. I'm going to go to Star Wars Celebration in London. So that's my big London trip. So I'm very excited for that.
There's Gwyneth as Black Widow. You can see her there in the rest of the Avengers thing.
Good.
Sorry, you can obviously do this at home. Don't do it if you're driving a car, because clearly we wouldn't encourage you to look at Facebook, even if you're in a traffic jam. You might find you get so caught up in the whole thing. You know, 5:23, that's as far as British Standard Time is concerned. Claire, I've never really asked you, even though we went through so much together in that module. Exactly.
No, I have never cosplayed. It's something I'd really like to do. I've never really had the energy to be that creative. If you know it, I tend to write, like, artistically, I'm not that creative. So if someone made the costume for me, I'd definitely wear it. I just don't have that sort of visionary ability that some people seem to do. But it's definitely, like Mary said, something that I really appreciate. I think it's great.
The chap there who's just wearing a bat on a white T-shirt, I just think he's not trying, really.
He's understated cosplay, I think.
Do you think so? You think it's minimalist
cosplay?
It's
very understated.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that. I mean, it is something which obviously gets very competitive. Starburst magazine obviously have a monthly column, which I'm sure will be in shortly, Gwyneth, about cosplay.
Oh, that'll be nice, that. I love the whole creativity thing. Like, that's my thing. Mm. I get itchy feet if I haven't got anything to make.
Yeah. And of course, coming up very shortly, you can see before and after that, yes, Suicide Squad released in August.
Nice. Yes.
There we have.
Fab. I love that costume.
Arguably the alter ego of our very own Emma Tinson. Harley Quinn.
I see it.
I'm making that costume at the moment. It's a very good costume. Mm. I like it. Again, there's a lot of people saying, oh, it's not that good, it's going to be terrible, but I know, I think it's going to be awesome.
I mean, not the scuttlebutt hasn't been quite as bad from the studio as it was for about, which kind of worried me, because when the studio actually put the money up, sort of start worrying and saying, oh, we're not sure about a sequel to Justice League or to develop this. But so I went into the cinema with a bit of trepidation. I decided to invest in the 3D glasses. Well, actually, I'd use the ones that I sort of kept from a previous visit. So, and I sat down and I thought, and it gradually, as it worked through, I thought, yeah, and I came up with a good solid 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
very good.
Yeah, so, I mean, not the 10 out of 10 I could award To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee, you know, which...
incredible.
Yeah, very good. Great book, mm-hmm. Great film. You know, superb on both levels. So it didn't quite reach that, but it's on its way. So there we are. Who would have thought that on the last Wednesday Midweek Drive of March 2016, I would have uttered the words, Batman vs Superman, Dawn of Justice, almost as good as To Kill a Mockingbird. I like to think that's just putting something else into the English language and sort of the whole critical persona of that whole sort of sequence.
There was a wonderful snippet online the other day that every 10 million words used, Batman is mentioned 1,000 times.
Oh, no way.
This is referred to in conversations often. I thought it was pretty cool that it got that ingrained in our culture.
Yeah. He's been around for 75 years, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, quite some time. Coming up to 76 years, really. It's 1938, so all sort of working through that. So, very important. Anything else you'd like to put to our cosplayer extraordinaire while she's dealing with the cords of customers that are currently sort of waiting to be served by her in the office, etc.?
Luckily, it's quiet today. It's quiet today.
So, thank heavens we sort of worked through that. Mary, any thoughts for yourself? No, then.
So, well, actually, no, you have a question. So do you actually do, like, lots of, like, sewing and making the actual designs yourself, or do you more, like, find the pieces online and then, like, put them together with your own stuff? Or, like, how do you go about, like,
I like
making
to do from complete scratch, so
really?
I do, like, loads
That's
of...
so cool.
I do a plan first, and I even, like, get loads of samples from online, get the right material. I just love it, so, yeah.
That sounds really cool.
That's incredible.
I mean, it's a lot of hard work. It can annoy us sometimes, but the final piece is, like, it's worth it.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to make a costume on average?
I've done costumes in a month, but I've actually nearly killed myself doing them. But I like to give myself at least 6 months to make a costume.
That's really good.
That's so very expensive as well, so I can't afford to.
How long did it take you, Katie, to do the full? Because you've done both Amy Pond and River Song. Yes. So for that,
Amy Pond was easier because the iconic river dress was a nightmare to find, and I'm not.
Was it the spacesuit?
It wasn't. No, it was the check top, the red check top, the jeans. So the things Amy wears tend to be kind of quite accessible, whereas River's got a bit more of a distinct look.
And you see, when they were worried about, well, you don't have the siren news on now, we can have Katie's fashion slot.
Yes, I think so.
Katie and Gwyneth's fashion slot. It's wonderful. It's great stuff there. And was it competitive or was it just a case of
just rocking up dressed.
Rocking up,
Very good. I dressed up as River Song once, actually, for Halloween in 2011. And I got shunned because apparently it wasn't scary, but I was like, yeah, but I had fun.
But River is amazing. So
River is incredible.
I don't know, River Song can be quite scary.
Yeah, she can, to be
scary fair. Scary if you're a Dalek.
Yes.
When she says sweetie, it can be very sort of frightening in that sort of sense. To move from DC to Doctor Who, seamless. Katie, would you like to put those last two questions to the wonderful Gwyneth Griffiths or Gwyneth Flanagan? It's so very confusing these days. Or indeed Gentiles, because that's, AKA, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I have a lot of names,
In any identity, have you had an enjoyable telephonic link with us today?
I have, as always.
And will you be joining us again soon?
Hopefully, definitely.
And hopefully for SF Scarborough.
Yay! Hopefully I'll see you there, yeah.
Exactly. Cue Wonder Woman. And then it continues to grow and develop and get even better. As we said, is it Gal Gadot? No, it's Tara Bennett in disguise. Tara, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. Yay!
Thank you. Yay! Thanks for having me. It's so lovely to be back.
Oh, we have missed you, as we say. It's without our Bennett links. In fact, what prompted me to actually say, look, you know, we need to move from this is sadly we can no longer play this anymore.
I'm Dave Bradley from SFX Magazine, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Because Dave is no longer with SFX Magazine.
No, you just made me cry. No, 7,000 miles away.
Well,
he's the most wonderful, wonderful editor, and I'm so sad to lose him at SFX, but I'm happy for his new adventures. So.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, we wish him well. And remember, he's really not dead just as long as he's left us. No.
That's true.
Now on, 20 years. We heard from Gwyneth Griffiths, not Gwyneth Paltrow. She's another thing. She's been on campus, but not recently. What her views were about Batman vs Superman. I've nailed my colours to the mast and say I think it was a lot better than I was expecting. I give it a solid 8 out of 10. Tara, have you managed to catch Batman vs Superman Dawn of Justice?
Alex, I am so apathetic about said movie that I have not gone yet.
I know.
Well,
I think you might be in for a little treat, because I shared your concern. We went through this journey, both Mary and Claire and Katie, sort of, you know, you always play back a podcast, so I listen to a lot of other things. But fundamentally, I was very pleasantly surprised, and I think, yeah, it's okay. Honestly, it is okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean, I did the last cover story for SFX on it, they are very selective on who they allowed to come and see the movie early.
Mm.
And I think it was, you know, those that were going to review it, not those that had done coverage of it. So I didn't get to see it early, and with everything that's been going on, I haven't made it. So it's good to hear, though, that there's some positives in the movie. And I am hearing that Ben Affleck is a really good Batman. So that gives me a lot of hope, too.
Mm. And, well, I think they all actually worked. As I say, I think Henry Cavill, our man from Jersey, he certainly, I warmed to a lot more in this one than I did in the first one, where I still felt that the shadow of Christopher Reeve was still very much being cast over the whole sequence. But, you know, as I say, you have a reappraisal to Man of Steel and Batman vs Superman Dawn of Justice. It's okay. That's the official midweek line on the whole system. And I'll return to that as we go through Larry Nemechek. Actually, I probably won't talk about it with Larry Nemechek, because he'll be talking about Star Trek and him coming over to Scarborough, because we got Richard Hatch, Garrett Wang, Claudia Christian, Larry Nemechek. The guest list is superb, with one huge lacunae gap. No Tara Bennett. No Tara DeLulu Bennett. I've looked through the entire sequence. I've seen Academy Award winner Brian Johnson, who's joining the whole sort of sequence.
Ooh.
The R2 Builders Club. We've got the Quark's Time Bar. We've got authors. We've got Game of Thrones well represented. But nowhere can we see Tara Louise Bennett and DeLulu Bennett.
Where's my invite? I'm so sad.
Well, I'm going to make sure. I'm going
like
to speak.
Party,
to...
I'm going to miss.
I'm going to make sure that you're actually on Sci-Fi Scarborough's 2017 list already.
Yay! That would be fabulous. I love that.
And
that
you see,
I will do my best to come out.
From the department of, I can't really give the sort of full story behind this, but I can just reveal, as you know, Tara, because you have been involved with conventions and San Diego and so on. One of the people who will not be appearing at SFS Sci-Fi Scarborough was somebody who actually was a Foley artist, who claimed that they'd actually once done The Breath of Sandra Bullock on a Foley tape. The Breath of Sandra. Now, okay,
ooh,
in its own way, you might think, well, that's okay. That sounds like some of the guests on the Midweek Drive. You know, any way to actually get there. Yeah. They were actually charging £5,000 plus expenses just to actually... I thought, well, $10,000 for The Breath
I'm
of Sandra Bullock.
I'm doing it wrong in life. Yeah, I am really doing it wrong in life. I need to talk to her people or that person and figure out how to do it right.
I mean, I'm not sure whether it was a or any of the kind of breath scenarios that could be there, but you know, five grand plus expenses for saying.
So strange.
And it's a will of the wisp. Anyway, moving on. Superlative article in the current edition of SFX magazine, which I don't actually have upon my person. I'm actually looking at the Batman vs Superman one with, of course, free DVD. But it does feature, obviously, Captain America: Civil War. And
yes,
although Joseph McCabe does a fair amount of stuff on that, Tara actually gets to speak to those wonderful Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. people.
Very nice.
Yes.
Yes. So share with us, Tara, what have you been doing with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And in particular, is it Fitz? Is it Simmons? Is it Simmons or Fitz? Is it Fitzsimmons? It confused me no end for the first season.
I know, right? Yes, I talked to the wonderful Natasha Henstridge, who is Simmons, on the series. And we had a really lovely chat. She's had quite the arc this season. She basically was stuck on an alternate reality planet world where she was stuck by herself for quite some time, and then she met up with another astronaut named Will, who was also abandoned there. Created this crazy sub story where they had to get off the planet, and they fell in love, and that created a huge oh my god moment for all of the people that have been wanted Fitz and Simmons to be together. So she has been a really interesting roller coaster, and as wacky as that sounds, it's actually played really beautifully. She just does a stellar job selling it, and that's always the great hallmark of a show that can come up with some really high concept things, but when they have the actors that just all bring it back down to the emotional elements of it, you buy it and you feel bad and you want to cry every time you have her on the screen, and so she's been really killing it this season. So it was really fun to talk to her. And then I was at WonderCon just this past weekend. Weird, us Americans not having a huge convention on a holiday weekend. So I worked. My Easter holiday was spent talking to a bunch of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. people, and got a really interesting conversation with Jeff Loeb, who's the guy that's in charge of all of Marvel's TV, about Marvel's Most Wanted, which is the spinoff that's coming with Bobby and Hunter, who are two characters that were on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that are now going to be on their own series. And so that will be coming up in the very next issue of SFX, where Jeff will talk about what they want to do with that series and how different it will be from what we're seeing with 3 years of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, as I said to Richard Edwards, of course, the editor of SFX magazine, SFX Superlative magazine, but fundamentally when I get my copy delivered by post, because I'm one of those subscriber folk, I sort of, where's the Tara Bennett articles? And it's always a joy when you find the Tara Bennett strap line on the whole thing, because this is good.
Yeah,
this
Thank
was
a, you.
I mean, we can see that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you see, the interview there, huge, huge TV exclusive.
Oh. And Orphan Black, which is also one of my favorite TV shows.
Oh, I love that show, too. Tatiana Maslany is the best. Oh. I would just watch her reading a menu at a restaurant, and I would be enthralled.
I would agree with that. Yeah. She's amazing.
Well, I mean, they're just wondrous in all senses of the word. One quick question, though, which is, I suppose I could use those things like IMDb, I could check it out, etc. Natasha Henstridge. Is she any relation to Elizabeth Henstridge, who was the lass in Species?
No,
I didn't think
not.
So.
Yeah, I didn't think. It's kind of like that Jennifer Lawrence, Francis Lawrence thing from the Hunger Games. No relation.
There are folk in the studio and probably listening at this very moment who think, Species? What's he talking about that movie for?
I was wondering just the same thing.
Thank you, Katie. because I was thinking, well, they both kind of got a Brit, and Henstridge,
it's a distinctive name.
Yeah. You know, was it a connection there? Obviously, no. Once again, Tara's finger on the pulse there. She doesn't swim with otters for no spiritual reason whatsoever. It's all there. By the way, how are the otters these days, Tara?
They're lovely. There's a new batch of little baby ones, which means that I am going to be saving my money to go swim with them again, because that is my crack. As you're friends with me on social media, it's just otter pictures all the time. So yeah, that's when they start putting baby otter pictures up, Tara's got a problem. And she needs to go again.
Fundamentally, you know, as you're right, says, some might swim with dolphins. Tara, she swims with otters. And the world's a better place as a result. I tell you, if some of those candidates for the American presidency could just swim with some otters, they'd improve so markedly. Yeah? Hillary, I mean you, girl. I mean you.
It would solve everything. I swear, if you just cuddle an otter, there's nothing in this world you can't overcome. That's all. That is my campaign promise to everybody in the world. There you go.
I can see President Bennett, you know, happening even as
That's
we speak.
For
you know,
everyone.
It may not be. It may not be 2016. It may be 2020. But you know, it'll still happen.
Her vice president could be an otter.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah.
I love that, right?
Yeah.
It could be an otter fan club.
I'm gonna start putting a campaign post on my social media now. You guys inspired me. That's my daily procrastination.
That's part of the rich tapestry of the whole sequence. Mary, any thoughts from yourself?
I'm quite excited for the new X-Men Apocalypse. Tara, what do you think about that when it's going to come out? Are you quite excited for it?
I'm very interested. I feel exactly the same way. I kind of feel like the last movie got a little bit overly convoluted with the merging timeline, but I really do love the new cast, you know, the younger versions of all the X people. So I really do like the idea of seeing McAvoy again and Fassbender, and I like what they bring to the characters. But I'm hoping that maybe this movie won't be as super overly complicated. Those kind of time travel ones where you're like, you feel like you're doing class while you're watching it. Exactly. So I'm hoping it smooths it out a little bit, and it also creates a smoother transition between both of those timelines. Mm-hmm. The kind of delineation between what's the reboot and what we're still supposed to kind of hold on to with the Patrick Stewart in the Callanverse. So, but I have hopes for it. I don't know. I think I've tempered my expectations for it, so it's not one of those films this summer that I'm looking forward to excessively, because I'm a little concerned that, yeah, I'll walk out of it scratching my head a little more than I'd like to. But I do definitely want to see it. You know, if my apathy for Batman and Superman means I haven't gone to see it yet, I definitely will try to be there on opening weekend for Apocalypse. I'd like it.
I mean, you've got your Batman vs Superman, you've got your Captain America Civil War, you've got your X-Men Apocalypse, you've got your Suicide Squad, you've got your Star Trek Beyond. Clearly, a wondrous time to be had by all. We've been looking at some of the photographs of otters, and we've seen you. It looks as though you're actually at summer camp, or it could be Tara Bennett on spring break, holding up a number five. Which is this an alter ego that you kept quiet?
It's actually this wonderful animal refuge that's in California. It's about halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego, called Nurtured by Nature. And they allow people to come and swim with the otters, and the funds for that actually pay for children that want to have wishes. If they're terminal or if they have any kind of problems, that this is a wish that they'd love to do, they bring the children in for free. And so when you go and have a good time as an adult, those funds help propagate more people going. And it's one of the most gorgeous views you'll ever see, where that family lives, and the animals are also well taken care of, and the otters. It's just a joy. They're just very happy. You cannot walk away without a permanent smile grafted on your face. It's like a happy Joker smile. Nothing nefarious about it. You just literally walk away remembering it as one of the best days of your life. It was absolutely wonderful, and it's a really great cause, and they're really great people that take care of the animals really well. They're not being abused in any kind of way, and it's really those are good people. They're really great people doing great things for kids and just for people that, you know, just want to celebrate animals. And they're, Wendy and her team are really, really awesome. And I can't wait to go back this year, because, as I said, I'm
Well, I tell you what, Tara, you can put to Wendy and her team that if they fancy doing a little phone link with us to kind of propagate themselves across the Atlantic, we're up for it as well. So there we are.
I will connect you guys, because they are really fun to talk to, and they have some really great things. And they get people from all over the world. When you see their book from people that come in to do the swims, they are a global attraction now. So that would be really fun.
Well, if we could do the Los Angeles City Zoo, the least we can actually do is the otters as well.
There we go.
Currently looking, of course, at something which goes back in time, like a spooky kind of giant donut, sort of many journeys a possible way. Welcome to Comic-Con International. Yes, it's Sci-Fi Scarborough. No, it's the San Diego event. Of course, Showrunners is still actually out there. It was when you were actually on the other side as a producer. And looking, it has to be said, Katie's looking very efficient there.
It's
exactly. It's so efficient that there's nobody else on the panel with her. But she's sitting there dancing the whole thing. That's the important bit.
Yes, that was Des Doyle's movie, Showrunners. It's available worldwide now. If you have a Netflix streaming or iTunes that you rent from or purchase, it's really been a really great story for them. It took them 3 years to make that film, and then I got involved with helping them turn a book from all of the interviews that they had outstanding that didn't make it into the cut of the movie. We made a companion book to it, and it's really gotten tons of awards, a lot of great respect from people in the industry that, you know, are showrunners or work in television, and I'm very, very proud to be associated with that, and for that to still to have a life out there, that it's still at film festivals, and Des still is doing panels and talking about his experience with that, and just excited to see hopefully what they'll end up doing next as their follow up to that, something in the industry as well. Following up maybe even on the television aspect of it, because, you know, the speed of television and how it's changing, how we watch it, the streaming sites, how the audiences are, you know, fragmented to how, you know, all these demographics, it changes so quickly that it's a story that he definitely can go back even in this short period of time and have a brand new story about it. So, Des and the gang, I'm hoping they do something soon so I can be attached to it again, too.
And you've reminded me, actually, it's high time we featured Des Doyle on the program as well as Paul Terry. Don't worry, Paul, we haven't forgotten you either. It's just sometimes you have to pack in so much goodness into 7,200 seconds. We'll have to reinstate the Midnight in Los Angeles sequence, which is 8 a.m., of course, in the UK. It's very good indeed.
Yeah, Mr. Terry's been very busy. We've been working together on a couple books right now. We've got... two that we're working on right now that are due, and I think you'll be very, very excited when we get to announce that one, because it's you have interviewed us for many of the books where we talk about something that's current, but I will tease to you guys specifically that the, what we've got coming up celebrates a 30-year classic. That is an amazing film for anybody that loves genre or that era of 1985-86 when a lot of really wonderful movies that are we consider modern day classics now. We are getting to do a book on
it's David Lynch's Dune. No. Could have been, but not quite. That would have been 32 years. There we go.
Yeah.
Katie, I've kind of held back the best, which if you'd done your usual level of intense research, you might have already followed this. But one of the great books that Tara has actually produced and co-authored with Paul Terry, which is actually in my office, so I'll pass it over to you to have a little perusal if you're doing work placement tomorrow. It's the Once Upon a Time Guide.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes. That was a lot of fun. We did that for seasons 1 and 2, and the show has gone on to just, you know, it's got another season coming. It's such a, it's like a force, you know. It's really great to see how successful that it's been, and Eddie and Adam, who created that show, actually are working on a brand new show now that they're doing a pilot for. So they may have 2 shows on the air come this fall if that goes well, too. And, yeah, it's just been really lovely to see a lot of that Lost family go on and be super successful. Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof and Eddie and Adam with their Once Upon a Time. It's been quite the machine of successful television, all of those people going off and doing their own creative thing. So it's nice to see.
And you're quite a Once Upon a Time fan, are you?
I am indeed. Yes.
I also am. Well, you just reminded me I need to watch the most recent episode. The new one's out today as well. Like, oh, yes. It's all so exciting.
And that's what Tara Bennett brings to the world. Happiness, joy and excitement and otters tales. It's wonderful. Obviously, the tales are still attached to the otters and it's kind of like a narrative thing.
Yeah.
So it's that, you know, she just go around, you know, saying, I'll just have that tale of an otter. I just, no, it's a different thing. It'll be Davy Crockett, different line entirely. Still. Claire, would you like to put those last 2 questions to Tara Bennett, please?
I can indeed. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Tara?
Absolutely.
Good. And will you be joining us again soon?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Tara will be back in April.
Yay!
Not the cruelest month, because Tara will be back with us in April. Yay!
Yay! Thanks so much for having me, guys. I'm coming home. Thank you.
Kirsten Adamson, Robot Girlfriend. 400 years ago, I remember it well, do you, Mary? 400 years ago?
Barely.
Barely,
I remember it really well.
Very well. Katie?
It's a hazy memory.
A hazy memory. Well, yeah, 400 years ago, exactly, Galileo first got into hot water with the church over the Copernican event.
Ah,
exactly. Starting with a hearing of the Holy Office on the 23rd of February, the affair stretched across all of spring 1616. Yeah, it was the buzzword. If you were doing a phone link back in 1616, Ilana Rain, you wouldn't have been on the Griffith Observatory. We'd be saying, what about that Galileo? What's he done? What has he done? That's just the way I dropped into a classic American accent there, Ilana.
Very well done, Alex. Hi.
Exactly. And indeed, as the current director of the Vatican Observatory, Guy Consolmagno, who hopefully will join us in the not-too-distant future, has actually said, science and religion at war is only believed today by journalists and the occasional elderly Oxford biologist. But last week, of course, as we headed off into our Robot Girlfriend and Kirsten Adamson, Ilana, we covered the excitement of not only sitting in for Phil Leonis, which is exciting, exciting in its own way, let's face it, you know, to kind of round off the show in the way that Alana did. But we just got through the Hawaiian experience. Katie was there. She remembers it. 7 days ago. It might not be 400 years ago. It was 7 days ago. We have been round the sun. A little bit. A teeny bit. Not quite. But but we didn't get any talk about her breakfast meeting with Phil Dinnis at the Griffith Park Observatory.
No.
Yes. That was a wonderful meeting. We do meet in Griffith Park occasionally and have some coffee. And it's just very peaceful. And, you know, thoughts flow and creativity flies, and it's always great meeting my neighbor. You know, hi, so, Phil, if you're listening.
Exactly.
But I'm, Alex, I want to say hi and, you know, also give a shout out to our two dear Hawaiian friends who are listening again, J-Ro and Buck, because I told them I was going to follow up on some Hawaiian thoughts. And regarding that song, J-Ro just wants to say that he would actually like a robot boyfriend.
Nice.
So maybe we could put a request through the airwaves for that to happen to Hawaii.
Alana, as you know, with the magic that we work on the airwaves across the universe, we put the message out there and suddenly it sort of works through. It does, it works through. As I was sharing with Katie earlier today, sometimes one just has to leave the building because you realise that just let it go. But you put it out there and it will happen.
Oh, and I also would like to have a surprise guest with me. Since you talk about ellipse quite a bit, I thought I'd bring on my co-writer, Craig Colligan, who's here. He co-wrote Ellipse with me, and he was also with me at the observatory in Hawaii. And, you know, it's an experience we still think about, and I just thought I'd bring him on just to share some thoughts, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely, Alana. It's the radio version of My Home is Your Home. You know, Ma casa es su casa. You know, it's wonderful. Craig, welcome to the production.
Hi, Alex.
Good afternoon. Are you in Los Angeles at present, Craig?
As far as I can understand, yes. Yes,
Alex. Yeah, because sometimes, Craig, we know the language is a different thing entirely, but we gather you're in LA. Ellipse, I was fortunate enough to actually see it, it's nearly 3 years ago, I think, now, at the London Film Festival. It was premiered there. Absolutely marvellous movie. Lots of wonderful aspects there. Well worth sort of checking out in all sorts of ways. From your own perspective, what did you think when the ideas first started manifesting themselves? I mean, this whole notion of playing around with time and sort of teaching and education and so on. What was it that kind of initially thought, yes, that's the one, that's where we're going?
Well, Alex, I would like to say that it's been translated. It's translated into film, and I can't really recognize a lot of the original in what's come out. So it's really Alana's work that I wanted that we'd be able to be struck. Excuse me, I'm being attacked by my dogs right now.
That's all right. As long as they're not werewolves. You know, that's the important thing. It's
screenwriter the disgruntled screenwriter who's just kind of abashed at what happened to his words as it was translated and he was closed off out of the set. So, you know, it's okay. It's a little bit of a tantrum.
As long as the dog isn't frothing at the mouth, all's well with the world. Because, you know, that would worry us and we'd be a bit concerned about that. That's just one of the images that comes from Ellipse. There are others that are coming through there. IlanaRain.net. And there's Alana actually wrapped up in her wonderful furry outfit while she's shooting Ellipse, actually, at the Royal Greenwich Observatory in London, England.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why I was so thrilled and excited to make the pilgrimage to Mauna Kea, because, you know, that was always, even before I knew J-Ro and Buck, it was always really top of my list, and indeed have a bit of a list to hit all the observatories throughout the world. And, you know, this place is just truly spectacular because the climate is such, it's so dry up there that the visibility is unsurpassed in, you know, the world. It's considered truly the best visible spot to see stretches of each hemisphere with the naked eye. And there were several times even that we, as a crowd, and there were, you know, hundreds and hundreds of us, it was just pure unfettered excitement, you know, leading up to sunset, and people were waiting, and it was just this raw, geeky joy, and we you know, as a group, it was this wonderful collective experience. And when they opened the telescopes at the visitor center, because the telescopes up at the summit are actually closed to the public, those are private telescopes run by the government. So fortunately, there's a visitor station where you're actually allowed to view the stars on its own. And we were able to even see the Hubble telescope zooming by at 17,000 miles per hour, 500 miles up, and it was pointed up to us. And, you know, I've never been in a crowd with 300 adults that just, you know, we all just oohed and aahed like school children. It was truly a magnificent experience.
Last week, Katie, in your five-hour mini-marathon that you were doing, which you wrapped up, of course, with the wonderful Ryan, as I like to say, Ryan, the water bearer, but it's very good. I heard you commenting on the importance of technology, the wow factor, and the fact that technology can be good and it's all positive. I kind of echoed that through today, because one of the aspects that Ilana's just described there is something which even I kind of noticed, that when you go out in the country and you suddenly see the stars, i.e. the celestial stars and so on, it kind of is quite an awe-inspiring moment. You kind of realise that, you know, in a strange way, we are all stardust.
It's very grounding, I think. Me and my mum kind of uses Twitter a lot, and she follows Aurora Watch or something similar, and she discovered that we would be able to see the aurora from the Northern Lights from our house. So we went to our attic and opened the window, and we sat there for a good like 3 hours in the freezing cold with all the lights off, but we got to see the Northern Lights, which was something that my mum has wanted to do for ages, and she got so excited, she was ringing everyone. It was very adorable. But it was still, it was an incredible sight. And I think, you know, we always go stargazing if we go anywhere out into, like, when we go to France and stuff, because you just, it's very, very grounding. It makes you realize how small you are.
Well, but there's also, and I totally agree with you, but you know how small you, realizing that can also just be so liberating, and to be able to find our purpose here, like, that we can't diminish that. And I think, you know, gazing at the stars is, it's the same as the connection we can feel when we sit with nature and just have a calm, peaceful moment. Or even if we can't, say if we're even stuck in some, you know, flat in the inner city, you know, that's what meditation can do for us, just a moment to just reconnect and to just take a breath. But there's something so incredible about stargazing, and for me personally, it's a gateway to just so much brainstorming and creativity. I mean, a shooting star following another shooting star. Of course, I immediately thought, oh, well, it's two ships going into warp drive, of course.
Nice, exactly.
And, you know, but hey, why not? I mean, when you're up in a place that is truly so special, and you're privileged to see the sky in a manner that you can't when you're down in the lowlands, who knows really what it is, what's happening? I mean, obviously, if I'm attached to one of the telescopes run by one of the countries, say, okay, clearly that's not a ship going into warp drive, or it's not a UAP or a UFO.
It could be a superhero on his way to actually battle for the universe, as in Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. Give it a try, Ilana. You won't be disappointed. I know it's got a lot of post-9/11 tragedy and trauma in there, but it's not as bad as we thought it might be. That's all I'll say.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. But you see, I grew up with the Batman that was, like, campy and funny and, you know, what outfits. And I don't know why he got so sad and depressed.
I think it's because...
Like, what? What's that all about?
I think it's because the Joker killed Robin. It's not good. It doesn't help relationships at all. And that's the bottom line is, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to actually sort of keep your Batman happy, for goodness sake, don't kill his sidekick. Even though it was Jason Todd.
It's kind of a general rule, I think, we can apply to much of life.
Like, in life.
Killing is bad. Well, killing is not good.
Yeah. Hence the reason I said to Craig, you know, as long as the dogs weren't frothing at the mouth, because I'd hate to have the notion of your wonderful collaborator and writer here suddenly actually being wrestled to the ground, bitten by a dog, becoming rabid, or even a werewolf, and then having to cope with all that. You know?
Craig was carried out of my studio on the backs of Sunshine the Werewolf. He's gone in history. It was our morning sacrifice, but you know, it's okay.
Well, if you're going to have a morning sacrifice, I suppose, you know, why not put a writer to the werewolf? Exactly. 2013. Where's it gone? I thought it was a couple of years ago. 2013, exactly. The game is to seed the universe with organic material and where it starts life. We monitor and protect it from the opponent. We leave clues as to where this life can be found while our opponent tries to prevent its discovery. It is a game of influence.
Right. Where has it gone, indeed? Well, some of this creative energy has gone into about 4 or 5 screenplays, which is exciting, but... And I've been on set with other people's projects, but the time is coming near where I'm going to get back on set with one of my own projects, and I'll surely update you when that all happens, hopefully in the coming months. But, yeah, where does it go? I mean, I'm glad that you're still talking about it. I mean, it's definitely the basis for
a lot of work. Elana, it's quality stuff. If you can't talk about quality stuff, as I said, To Kill a Mockingbird, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, and Ellipse, they kind of fit together as a kind of canon, a body of work which sits well in the 21st century. And actually, in all fairness, it is an excellent movie. And it's a very thought-provoking movie as well. Short but perfectly formed. Katie.
Thank you, Alex.
I went away and watched Ellipse after speaking to you and not having seen it, and absolutely loved it. I mean, purely from a visual point of view, it is astonishing. Absolutely loved it.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. Yeah, I believe Louis is hosting it on his Sci-Fi London site, which is great, and it's definitely gotten me some inquiries about work, and you know, it's a great platform, and it's just great that Louis still, you know, he's carrying the torch for sci-fi, so...
I've already put the word out for Louis Savvy to join us in the near future. He seems to be ignoring my emails these days. I don't know why. He's just busy.
Festival season!
I know. But, you know, festival season versus a chance to appear on the Midweek Drive? Elana, please, you know, there's got to be a balance.
No, absolutely. But, Alex, here's my question to you. When are we going to get you to Hawaii? And if so, we can plan it. I'd be happy to help you plan your wardrobe. This is a very different climate.
Yeah. Now, you see, Elana, you might well say plan my wardrobe, but you know, as you possibly know, I'm more of a Jack Lord Steve McGarrett character with the full blue suit, you know, with the possible maybe the top button unbuttoned. I'm not really a Thomas Magnum PI Hawaiian shirts character, etc.
I think it'd suit you, Alex.
The Thomas Magnum PI.
I think you should get a Hawaiian shirt. I think... Yeah, definitely.
You see, equally the kind of updated version of Hawaii Five-O, I don't really have the necessary... I mean, anyway, he's Australian now, you know, Alex Scotland. He's an Australian sort of... Then I suppose you could always turn around and say, well, is he more like Jorge from Lost? But, you know, no, I don't have the beard for that, you know? So it was nice to see them reunited on an episode of Hawaii Five-O recently. So you've already set a number of little quandaries there, alternate realities, as quantum physicists would actually say, Elana. Do we actually go for QM theory, as in quantum mechanical theory? Do we actually look at a more kind of special case of quantum theory? It's very confusing, but, you know, I'm not ruling it out. So, not ruling it out.
No, it is. And I think that, you know, when you deal with quantum theory and time travel, you know, it's so easy to back yourself in a corner. And one of my big fears of, you know, and writing any new material is the first thing I think of is the message boards and just getting skewered to death on them by people who really spend a lot of time figuring these out and seeing how it works with your plot mechanics.
People who spend so much time on message boards, it's because they haven't got a life, Elana. That's the bottom line. I'm sorry, social media folk, but, you know, sometimes you just got to let it go. Just enjoy the whole process. Oh. That's the key thing.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, I'm not so sure if you're aware, but I quit Facebook and Twitter about 6, 7, 8 months ago. I've lost track, but I'm so much happier, so much more peace. I mean, the peace I have in my life, it's like I've opened up my life and time and brain space and being able to live in the present. I mean, it does make promoting, you know, appearances on your radio show a little more difficult, but, you know, I realize anything career-wise that I need to announce to certain people I can do through my website or through email or even... shocker, a telephone call. But, you know, I recommend if people are feeling a little overwhelmed by the internet, and, you know, there are numerous studies that say that too much social media, too much Facebook actually causes anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would highly recommend people just maybe even seeing, taking a break, seeing that, you know, they can actually be a lot more creative and productive off of it for a little bit. And maybe see it as like a little bit of a discipline challenge. So I'm just throwing that out.
As ever.
To your listeners and to your studio.
Deep-rooted words of wisdom. Even former Leicester City footballer Robbie Savage has come off social media up to a point. Grief.
And it has nothing to do with being anti-technology. I mean, you know I'm as pro-tech as they come. I love it. I love the internet. I love what it can do for us. But I feel like there's been a pretty scary turn of, you know, the corporations taking over, you know, some sort of, you know, active brainwashing really that goes on. And, you know, it started when Facebook did that experiment on its users without getting informed consent, which is a cornerstone of research, of any sort of biomedical, psychological research. You have to tell the people that you're experimenting on that you're experimenting on them. You can't just have some sort of secret thing going on, and that's exactly what Facebook did, trying to gauge whether or not people responded positively or negatively to a news feed that they manipulated. So once that came to knowledge, that to me was the sign that there was just too much out of our control as people, as humans, and the machines were really taking over.
One star at a time, as Galileo would have said 100 years ago. One star at a time. Katie, last two questions for Ilana Rain, please.
Ilana, have you had an enjoyable telephonic link with us today?
Oh, as always, thank you for asking. Have you?
It's been wonderful. It really has been wonderful.
It's been probably the best link quality-wise that we've had for quite some time, Ilana, because occasionally we've had sort of bits dropping out here, there, etc. Even with Skype, sometimes we've had challenges where we've looked at various other bits and pieces. But today, I feel it's just been perfect.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. I'll keep that in mind. And shall I tell Buck at Sunrise Cottages in Pahoa to expect you at some point in the future?
Oh, certainly via telephone or astral travelling, definitely. Astral travelling we'll do this year, okay? So, I mean, I feel as though effectively we certainly, if not Pahoa, then we'll certainly be heading off to Oahu, some of the big islands and various other bits and pieces from that. And I think certainly we should look to feature J-Ro and Buck as a phone link co-presenter. Tell us, it's time.
Absolutely. J-Ro Healing would be a fantastic person to have on. And I'll ask him.
Well, we will go with that.
Sure.
Meanwhile, back with the second question. Katie?
Will you be joining us again soon, Ilana?
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely. Thank you.
A round of applause for Ilana Rain!
Yay! Yay!